Have your Bibles turned with me. First of all, over to, we want to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't think sometimes people realize that not only do we have the services here, not only do we have the things that we do, but at night and other times, and realize just, and I don't say a lot because a lot of people don't understand it, therefore they don't understand when I mention it. But boy, our church now must have my help meet with me. I must have. It counts as much as we do. The things that we're involved in, but that the church never sees. And I pray that the Lord will help her get over this so she get feeling better. We're looking at, in God's Word, we talked about the supremacy of God for a number of weeks back a few months ago. And the last few weeks we've been talking about understanding God by faith. We looked at the supremacy of God, who He was and what He's done. And then once we got an idea, it's in the evidence of God. And we see the evidence. That's the thing about it. We can't see Him. It's like the wind. I said a few weeks ago, you see the evidence of the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the evidence of the wind. When you see the evidence of the wind, you understand that there is such a thing as wind. Amen? You never had a handful of wind. Sometimes you can look at in certain type of atmosphere and get a glimpse of something taking place as far as wind is concerned, but you can't see it with the eye and see the evidence of it. Well, isn't it amazing? The world will agree with that. So is it with God. You can't see God with your physical eye either, but there's enough evidence. In fact, there's more evidence about God than there is about wind. There's more evidence in the supernatural of God than there is about wind. There's more evidence in the supremacy of God than what you see in the evidence of wind. And yet, there's many today deny the existence of God because they say simply you can't see Him. Well, I believe in the last few months you've been seeing God from a different angle, and that's from His Word. We see Him because of His supremacy. And then because He's so great, we've asked God to help us look at Him through the means of seeing Him in this physical world. This invisible God that has to come from the invisible world through the veil of the flesh into a materialistic world for us to see Him. And God is a spirit, John 4 tells us. Jesus spoke about Him. And so when we look at the invisible God, for Him to reveal Himself, He does it through the flesh in the materialistic world with things that we can see with the physical eye. And so when I come to that place, I know this, I can't see Him with the physical eye, but I see things in the world that He made. And Romans 1 says that I have no excuse to believe that He doesn't exist because of what He made. So now I have to use another element the Scripture talks about, and that's faith. Faith is important in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1, 2, and 3, for the launching board tonight. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for. Substance, you can see that eye. Things that you can see that you hope for. And then notice he says, and evidence, the very evidence that things that you not seen. And here he says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Then verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so we had, under this understanding God by faith, we looked at the first item, the first point, was simply this: apart from God, there is no real answers about life. Now, apart from God, there's answers that man cups up in his own mind. And he'll tell us this and that and what he studied, and they write it in books, and we believe it because it's written in books. But some things, by the way, a lot of things written in books are not true in our particular day. I guarantee you that. A man just wants to write about something, he'll write about it, and when he writes about it, it may be far from being the truth. But this book is true. This is God's Word. It's absolute truth, just not truth. It's absolute truth. And so apart from God, there is no other real answer. And the second thing I must understand, that life comes from life. Something that's dead cannot produce life. Life comes from life. When you talk about physical life, there has to be an author of life. And when you look at life through eyes of faith, started with God, some things come about that we can understand. We talked about a few weeks ago about matter. We're talking about taking this pulpit and going back to the original. If you go back to the tree, back to the time of the seed, back to the time that this is a finished product of something that started, we know, from a tree and from a plant of some kind or acorn or nut of some kind. How God, of course, when God created the trees, He created them all in full, if you consider, bloom, I guess. Consider them mature. We go back today and we think about looking, trying to tell time, and we go back and say, well, when you get back to a certain era or time, then what about time that the tree that grew up and it took so many years? What about those times? But they don't understand. If God can create a tree, He can create one full bloom. He can create one full age. He can make a pine tree as tall as one in the world if He wants to, and He can do it by the power He has. But when we think about this thing of substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, that the world is reframed by the word of His power, what is that? Well, we said man that today is leaving evolution out. By the way, and this is something that's taking place a lot in our life today, the evolution just doesn't make sense to most people, and a lot of scientists leave it out. So they're looking at another angle to approach this to and realize that this is so gigantic what we're seeing today in space, in life, in these physical bodies, what we can do. It's so great. There's got to be a intelligent design behind it. And amazing me, they refuse to believe that there is an intelligent design, but they trace it back to one word called energy. And they say when you go back, take this, trace it all the way back to its beginning, in the stage before it became part of wood, it was pure energy. And they go back and say you can trace everything in the materialistic world back to energy, which you cannot see necessarily. You see the results of it, but you cannot see. And they say all matter is simply energy passing into motion and motion passing into what is observable. All matter we see in the sense all matter is simply energy passing into motion and then motion passes into that observable. It comes into something that can be seen with the physical eye. So when we're right at the core of all things, material things, we find nothing but sheer energy. The source of any material item is energy. And the source of energy, which they don't go back that far. But it amazes me if it is energy, where did energy come from? In the Bible, they can't go back no further than energy. But the Bible goes back to the spiritual side. In other words, when you trace it back to material energy, material item as energy, the source of energy is spiritual. And when you move to the spiritual realm, that's God. Again, John chapter 4 teaches us that Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the source of energy is spiritual. It simply sets forth that when we arrive back to where energy is at, there's another step, and that step is God Himself. Now think for a minute. Think with me just a moment. We left here last week. If matter and earth and all the material world consume so much of our time and energy and finances, and they do, we spend a good bulk of our time getting things made of matter. We say we have to have it to live. We have to have it to survive. Well, if that be the case, and it is, we know because the evidence is that we spend a lot of time after these things. Then when we get to the point that all of these things came from the Spirit, we believe that they may go back to energy and stop there, but we can't because we realize God's a Spirit. God is not just energy. He's the creator of energy. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, we go beyond that. Now, that helps me understand why God said so much about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things that we look at in the material world will be added to us as they are needed. And you see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So when you go back to the time where God Himself is at, then that which is more important, is it that which is matter or that which is spirit? If God is a spirit, we throw back to Him rather than just the energy, which in turn motion brings matter, then which is more important, that which is spiritual or that which is matter. This helps me to understand why Jesus taught us to give our lives to that which is lasting and not that which passes away. If you look at me in 1 John chapter 2, just a moment, turn right over a few pages, in 1 John chapter 2, and down about verse 17, God's Word said this, after John had said, love not the world, things in the world, that's the very thing that we find ourselves doing. We claim that we got to have it survive. To be honest, a lot of things we do just because we love them. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, this is understandable because that's God in our life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If that's what's guiding us, then it's what's in this world that has become our superior being. Verse 17 says, though, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Where does the will of God start for us? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the eternal life of God himself that he gives to us when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So this helps me to understand what Jesus said. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm amazed that the people will say, you know, I believe what Jesus says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things, and his righteousness, all these things will be added. I believe that, but they live like they don't believe it. This says to me that it's important then that I be busy about God's business first. It says to me, if that's important in God's kingdom, the only thing that will matter, not things I get here is going to burn and be destroyed one day, and even if I don't see it happen in my own life, that when I die, it's going to leave to other generations, and then some other generation to get it, some other generation to get it, some other generation to get it, until the end of time. But there's one thing for sure, everything you and I do for God, no one will get it, except the person who did it. God has promised us that. But we've emphasized off the rewards in our day that God has promised us who serve him, because we're so busy about things in this particular life. And that helps me understand, when I look at God's supremacy and I look at how I serve him by faith and understand him by faith, and now began to look at why God said the things he said. God is not some God in heaven just said, man, I just want to be tired over you. You do what I say. If you do what I say, and you know, that's it. We should do what he says, but when he does what he says to us to do, it's because he has given us the way of life that will benefit us through all eternity, throughout all eternity. This side of heaven, and also in glory too. So this helps us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 18, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Don't that fall in line with what 1 John just said? The things that you see are temporal, whatever it is. But notice he says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Those things that God talks about, they're eternal. That's seeking the kingdom of God. That's using the temporal things in this life that I may seek towards the kingdom of God to enhance God's kingdom in this life. The church's got to have money to survive because that's the center of things. You've got to have money to survive. You can't live in this particular day as good as you live without having some funds coming in somehow or another. I'm telling you what. Even what Uncle Sam gives you won't be enough, harder to live on. You might exist a little bit, but it'd be hard to exist sometimes under those circumstances. So thank God for the economy in a situation where he gives people ability to use their talents for him or for things in this world and use it to the point to get ahead. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know you won't understand this, but years ago, I come to the conclusion that if I could use my talents, what little I had, and thank God my record shows God had given me some in those early days, if I could use it for a corporation somewhere or another, which I should if I'm working for them, I should do my best to make everything I could for them because they paid me a salary. But if I could use my talents for a corporation somewhere or another, I sure would want to use my talents for God. But you look at the people nowadays will use their talent everywhere else in the world for a corporation and do absolutely nothing for God. Amen, preacher. That's right. This is where we're at. And it's sad. It must break God's heart sometimes. The talent that we have, we ought to be using for God. Because if I can use it for anywhere else in this world, surely I can use it for the Lord. Don't that make sense, folks? Are we so far caught in this world that we've come to the place that we think that it don't matter except I exist here? I don't think so. I think this has opened up eyes. And this is probably one of the reasons why it's so hard. This is beyond teaching that most churches get. Because what you're seeing God in on a plane that makes him real and makes you want to seek him and makes you want to be where you want to be. With all our problems and troubles we have in this life, we want him to have our very best. And he deserves our best too. And so again, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you believe that, folks? Do you really, honestly believe that we walk by faith and not by sight? If not, we should. Because that's where Paul says we're at. Walking by faith is to see God beyond what the world can see. They'll mock us and laugh at us and scorn us, but we see God beyond the world that they cannot see because of this wonderful thing of faith. Now, it's interesting. Only God, and the third thing would come too quickly, only God, only faith in God can answer as to why such an atomic structure exists when it comes to matter. We saw that already. Protons, electrons, and make up the different areas that make up the nuclei, which in turn makes up molecules, which in turn makes up matter, and then in matter you can see with so many of them together. And that's the reason when I talk about going back, it's hard unless you understand where how it comes up. If we take this and go back, you go back and finally you get to a point where you get to the molecules and you get back to nuclei, you get to atoms, which you can't even see with the eye, and then that go back into energy somewhere or another. That's the way God made the building blocks of life. That's the way God made these things to begin with. And I think the reason he did that, because since God's a God who you cannot see, then there's some things about this life you cannot see. And in our day, in the last 100 years or so, we found out how to see things that man has never seen before. Isn't that amazing? We can see things man never seen before. And it only makes us say, man, isn't that great? That's God. And yet, instead of saying it's God, look how smart we are. And we'll go back to energy, but we're not going to go back no further than that. Like that guy I told you at Chapel Hill had that big ball on the side, if you saw that, and it was huge, big, and it was all lit up and so forth, and he'd go back to energy, all the time to energy, all the time to energy. We go back further than that. Where is that? God's the creator of energy, and therefore we trust him. Now, science can give us knowledge. Science can give us knowledge about atomic devices, but we have trouble using them to benefit humanity as a whole. We'll use it to kill people, but we're afraid sometimes to use it to help us. And we do a little bit. We're getting into electricity, you know, with power and so forth, nuclear power. We're getting into those fields to benefit us. But most of the time, we end up abusing it. This would God help, which could really be a help to us in life. We abuse it because man's heart's evil, and we want to always be able to conquer the others who may try to conquer us. That's our mentality as far as human beings are concerned. Yet humanity does not know. Now, science can give us knowledge about these devices, and even in our day, we have the ability to really work with these devices, even though they're abused. But interesting, with all this fantastic knowledge we have today, humanity does not know how he got here. Oh, yes, they do. He started through evolution. No. Oh, yes, they do. He started through, some other form of energy. Well, he may have, but who started that? You see, I don't understand how a person may not know how he got here, but I know how I got here. You say, well, I do too. I was born of my mother and dad. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how humanity got here. Where are you going to find it at? The only source of truth I know. Not there in that book. That's the only source of truth I've got. And anything else that says it's truth about it, people write about it and they can't even do the things that science says they should do to know these things are true or not. And so, again, humanity doesn't know how he got here. Humanity doesn't know why he's here. He doesn't know where he's going. Isn't it interesting? This precious book here tells me how I got here, why I'm here, and where I'm going. Every answer I need is found right here in this book. And yet people laugh at it and scoff at Why? Because they laugh and scoff at God. You say, wait. No, I know people that don't laugh and scoff at God, don't believe. Hey, I'll tell you this. It's easy to follow someone who's not God thinking it's God, because then we do our own thing. You can't follow a true God, though, and do your own thing. You follow the true God, and you get in the Word of God and feel like, say, if I'm going to follow God, where am I going to get the information from? And it'll come from His precious Word that He's written Himself. God teaches us that we came from the mind of a loving God. I'm here to please God. Hear me, folks. And you are too. We are here to please God Almighty just simply for the fact to live by faith. That's the only way we're going to do it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see that in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I say, well, I have faith. All right, that's good. Where's it at? Who's it in? Well, it's in God. Oh, is it? Okay. How did you get to God? Well, I just called on His name. Oh, is that right? Well, isn't that God we say is alive and well, said He had a son. And that son is equal to Him. And you can't get to this God without His son. So here, if you're going to believe in the true and living God of this Bible, you have to believe in the true and living Son of God, this Bible, which is also eternal. So you can't approach it without the Son of God. That means later, you're talking about narrowing down. We're going to really be put in a spot if the Lord don't come back and get the church, because Jesus Christ's name has been shoved aside everywhere we go today. And it's a powerful name. That's the reason for that. I'm here to please God by living in faith, to do His will, to do His purpose, to demonstrate the power of His kingdom while I'm here on this earth. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, again, this faith, it amazes me. And by the way, there's no way to do that without choosing to do that. God will not make us get saved, and God will not make us serve Him after we are saved. If we believe the Bible, that'll be the source that gives us the spiritual food that's needed to give us understanding about life and how to apply it in our own life here. You take Moses. Moses in chapter 11, verse 25. I'm talking about people who wanted His will, demonstrated that in their lives, demonstrated the power of His kingdom. And you take Moses. Moses, it said about Moses in this chapter in verse 23, 24, and 25, as he talked about faith when he was born, so he did 3 months and he was a prophet child. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In verse 25, watch this, choosing rather. He had to make a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had to make a choice. Oh, Moses is a great patriarch of the Old Testament. He had to make a choice. God used to preserve him, yes, by his mother and his sister and Pharaoh and all those. But there came a time when he got grown to the point that he was responsible. He had to make a choice. And he made the right choice, according to the book of Hebrews. If you go back and you look at Enoch, same thing. Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death in verse 5. And was not found because God translated him for him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had to make a choice to do that. God, what is it I can do in my life? What do you want me to do so that I might please you? Go through here. Look at Noah. Look at Abraham. Y'all, each one of these made a choice. Their choices demonstrated that they knew that they were here for a greater purpose than just to enjoy this materialistic world or the things we get in this life. Nothing wrong with these things in the proper place. Enjoy every one of them, but don't let them hesitate. I tell you what, physical hindrance as far as the physical problems of people, I understand you may have to change and adjust sometimes. But ladies and gentlemen, don't ever use things because you did not do something for God. God can give them, God can take away. And that's all I say about that. There's been people that I've known in my life through the time had testimony that there was things they knew they should have done and did not do. And because of that, where they were at that time was because they made the choice, not that was pleasing to God. So these choices demonstrate they knew where they were. And I said again, as you know, there's a greater purpose than just enjoy things. And that's the reason why if God is first in your life, you can enjoy those things. Don't ever let Satan trick you up and think not to enjoy something when you know you let God be first in your life. You see, we're headed for a better place, a place whose builder and maker is God, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Abraham said that. He was looking for that city, never saw it. Isn't it amazing? All his life, wonder, he looked for a city, a builder and maker of God, and he never saw it. He sees it today, being present with the Lord. It is faith in God that gives us an accurate understanding of who we are. It's faith in God that tells us why we're here. It's faith in God that's telling us where we're going. Because my faith in God about my origins is strong. My faith in God of why I'm here is strong. And my faith of where I'm going is strong. I don't care what people say. There is a heaven, and there is a place where there's streets of gold. There is a place where there's 12 foundations. There is a place where there's gates of pearl. It's so great, God had to deal with it and explain it in terms that we could understand. And when we talk about a gate of pearl, that's a huge thing. And yet, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And so again, we're headed for a better place. The person of faith in God knows the truth. He lives by that truth. He looks for reward unseen that is real at this time, and knows God will keep his word, and many times there have been rewards. A lot of things happen to you and I, ladies and gentlemen. Times it was a blessing that God gave us because he's rewarding us. He's just simply rewarding us because of what he's doing for us. So may God help me be a person of faith. May I understand faith. May I understand that the person of faith with him as my object. Focus on him in everything. And I pray that God help me even now invest my life. I don't know what it would be. I know one thing. No matter what you do, sooner or later your physical life gets to the point, physical problem gets to the point you can't do. Your mind wants to do what your body can't do. Most of you have been there or there now. If not, just wait. You will be. After a while, you'll be wanting to do things that your mind, your body just can't do. It can't keep up with it. And so I pray that God help me invest my life even now, my time and my energy, my finances, more than just in this world, that he may be glorified through me. And I pray that's your desire too. I want to know and experience the power of the one who made all of this working in my life. When I look at the scriptures, in God, faith tells me that God created me for a purpose. And by the way, God created you. He said, no, God didn't have nothing to do with it. I was born a man and woman together. Don't tell me. The Bible teaches us he knows what we are before we were ever formed. And if you're going to believe in God, you have to believe the whole record. He's not a half God, part God, 99% God. He's 100% God, or he's not God at all. There's no such a thing as a half God. And so faith tells me that God created me for a purpose that I might glorify and live for him. Faith tells me to keep trusting in Jesus and not to live this like the world. I've got to live in the world, but I don't have to copy it. I don't care what the world says. I was just telling Andrew, fixing to go into the service. He's going into a different world. There's going to be a lot of things that try to attract him away from what he's been taught the last number of years of his life. So, service is a good place, but there's an evil place too. There's a lot of ungodliness going in that place. And when you get there, you've got more peer pressure than you've ever had before. It takes a strong Christian to stand in service somewhere or another when you get among that type of atmosphere. But you can do it. Faith tells me to keep trusting Jesus Christ and not live like the world. Now, God, how do I know this? How do I know? How do you know that God has spoken? Well, the scripture tells me that God has spoken through his written word. You remember, if you look back again in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 1 and 2, God has spoken at sundry times in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he had made the worlds. So that's when this book was written. But then later the Holy Spirit, which is the third part of the Trinity, inspired this book to be written, and therefore the Holy Spirit, when you and I get saved, God miraculously somehow or another gives us the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God with the Word of God helps us understand the mind of God that we may learn those things about his kingdom. So God has spoken through his Word. God has spoken through his Son. And God is speaking today. He's spoken in past through the prophets. And today he's speaking through his word by his Holy Spirit. And so I say to you, hear what God is speaking to you. Trust him by faith. One's not saved. Don't play with your soul. Trust him. And then once you trust Christ as Savior, then if a person is not saved, trust Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is telling us. That's the reason Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. If one is saved, do not let anyone or anything pull you back towards living as you did before you met Jesus Christ. It's not worth it, ladies and gentlemen, because the end results will be much better when God rewards you and I, and he will one day when we stand on the other side. We understood God by faith in him. All this comes from the Scriptures. Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So all of this we find out about God comes through the Scriptures and from the Scriptures. The supremacy of God, and see the evidence of something, but don't tell me who it is. The Scriptures helps me understand the supreme. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You'll read it sometime. In other Scriptures show me God who is supreme. The Scripture shows me that understanding God is by faith. Now, you have some people say, well, I have faith in God too. You just don't random have faith on any type of God. Well, preacher, a person who bows down to a totem pole has got a faith in that as their God. It may be, but what kind of faith is it? That totem pole can't respond back. If I waste my time, let me waste it on something that, if it is wasted, of course it's not, but if it be, let me waste it on something that were real. God responds back. Amen? You say, well, I believe in nature. Well, nature can't respond back. I know sometimes we look at hurricanes and tornadoes and things and say nature's upset. No, nature is just doing its thing. It's within the laws that God created. And when you get currents and meteorology set in such a way and they cross each other's path, they will do every time exactly what they do. Because they're the laws of God. They work that way. So now I've seen the supremacy of God. I've understanding God a little bit by faith. Now I have another era I have to go into. And it's very important because I've never understood God in the past years ago like I should in my life unless I know first who he is and then understand I've got to see him through faith. Where am I going to get the strength of that faith? Through his word. And then I have to understand what is my purpose now. He created man the last day of creation. He created man in his image. What is man's purpose? I'm a man, you're a man, and man covers also women. What is our purpose now among this great God who is supreme and we have to worship and follow through the eyes of faith? He tells us, and we're going to pick up the next series of thoughts now again about what is the purpose of man. Why did God create man? Why are we here on this earth? Planet Earth. Why are we in the materialistic world rather than, the angels were in the invisible world when he created them. They're real too, and you can't see them with your physical eye unless somehow or another they come across the veil and manifest themselves in something that reflects light, like material matter. We just call it matter, whatever it is. All this is matter, whatever it is, just in form somehow or another. And it reflects light. You cut the lights in here and it's dark enough, you can't see this stuff. Pitch dark. But when you cut the light on, matter reflects light. That's what you're saying. God gave us eyes to pick up that which reflects light. Now, when I see God as he has manifested himself and the evidence of it, and I understand that's a channel through faith that I have to look through to see him, and that channel is through this book, then now I want him to reveal to me, I want to understand what is my purpose. So I have to go back to the creation of man and what he did at that time and understand this God who was speaking and what he did to bring about the creation of man to where we are today. And this Bible has that record for us. And that's what we'll pick up next week. Father, dear Lord, I don't know if this happened to anyone. I know this is reaffirmed in my heart in these last days. Who knows where I'm headed? It just doesn't, I don't know. I know that every ounce of strength that we get in this life to help us stand for our days, because we're going to be attacked more and more for standing for truth. Jesus Christ's name has been attacked right now every way we turn. And it may be that because people don't like the pressure of using his name, why they don't use it as much. Therefore, that kind of tells us who we are. If we're ashamed of His name, we're ashamed of Him. God, help us never get to that place. May we exalt You, but yet do it in a kind, do it in a general way, generous way, and, dear Father, not with any type of arrogance of it all. Thank You for making Yourself real. Lord, I believe this breakdown gives us an understanding from the very supremacy of who God is, what little man can see to understand that You're there, and then to understand this great supreme God through eyes of faith. Now help me understand why I'm here. I know this, that You are the author of our life. Now I want to understand, what is it? What was in Your mind when You created Adam? What was in Your mind when Adam fell and You restored him? What's in Your mind when Jesus came? Help us see how that You came through the Old Testament up to our day, even to our day and age of grace, and what You're doing, because there's a kingdom that God is manifesting. A kingdom that the world cannot see, because You said when Jesus was here, that kingdom is in us. It's in us who are saved. And therefore, the words that we say, people see the church here, but when we leave, the church is just a building. The kingdom of God that was here by among God's people that makes up this church, which makes up the total kingdom of God. When we leave, then the kingdom of God is where we go. That's the way God did it. And one day you're going to remove us out of here and get us out of this frail body that's sinful and problems all the time and corrupt with sin and therefore has the effect of sin on us because it's dying, and put that new creation in Christ Jesus into a glorified body. You talked about when the resurrection takes place, and you gave the exhibition of that resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4 and how it was going to take place and what would take place with those who have died and gone on to be the Lord and how they come back and be changed, be raised, and we which are alive will be changed. Lord, you have it all laid out for us, that we rejoice in it. If we don't latch on it by faith, we try to see it with our physical eye until we see Your face. Satan will trip us up. But I'm glad one of these days we will see Your face. You tell us that in the book of Revelation. And when we see Your face, then we won't need faith anymore, for we'll see things by sight. Father, strengthen our faith until that day comes. Draw us closer together as a body of believers. In these last days, we need each of us, Lord. We need the support group of those who believe the Bible, and not just say they believe it. Grant to us what is needed in our day, that we may serve You better. Dear Lord, don't let Fellowship Baptist be raised up. And years ago, they served You, and all of a sudden, the end of the time comes now. Suddenly, Fellowship Baptist Church is like any other church. Just religious, and that's all. Please guard this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, folks.